Pinkerton football news. Welcome to the Golden Black Radio pregame show as we get you set for Saturday's kickoff. Now here's your host, Kyle Chartus.
Boilermakers return to action for a big month of November. First up, Iowa in the rain and wind in Ross-Ade Stadium on Saturday. Kyle Chartus here with Tom Dienhart for the Golden Black Radio pregame show. Brian Newbert and Alan Karpik will be with us as well. Purdue and Iowa. Tom, in this matchup, at least during the Jeff Brohm era, it has gone pretty heavily in Purdue's favor, 4-1 of the Boilermakers in the last five seasons, including, of course, last year's victory in Iowa City over then number two Iowa. This game has a little bit of a different feel, of course. The Hawkeyes have had a lot of struggles this year, especially on offense, though they are coming off a good game against Northwestern. And the Boilermakers are the team with a lot to play for. Of course, Purdue can go 4-0 in the month and win the Big Ten West.
Yeah, it's all right there for the Boilermakers, Kyle. Like you said, win out, go 4-0 in November. You're going to Naptown for the Big Ten championship game. I know that's maybe a tall task, but if you look at the schedule, I mean, it has its challenges, but it looks doable, right? I mean, you got to get by Iowa, of course, Saturday at home. And again, Jeff Brohm's 4-1 against this program, had a lot of success, uncanny success. You've seen it, Kyle. I've seen it. The listeners have seen it. He has a way of finding a matchup he can exploit against these guys. And Iowa confounds people by seemingly never adjusting. So be a fun chess match again, Sally. You talked about the elements. Certainly that's going to be key. But, yeah, the stakes for Purdue are extremely high. And for Iowa, you know, 4-4, they're a proud program. They're always dangerous. And you talked about it. They got a win last week, and they want to try to build some mojo moving forward too.
Yeah, we'll talk to WLFI meteorologist David Seipel, get his forecast for Saturday. Rain, it sounds like, in the morning, maybe tapering off, but the wind is going to be significant in the afternoon with the kickoff at noon in Ross-Ade. Tom, usually I would say that, you know, a game in the wind is going to favor the running team. Well, I mean, it sounds a little crazy to say here. Is Purdue not the running team here in this matchup now on Saturday? I mean, Iowa has been so bad offensively. It can barely pass the ball. Its rushing offense is only 13th in the Big Ten, so second to last. It just feels like, whereas maybe in general wind might be an equalizing factor, I don't know that it necessarily is for this matchup on Saturday.
How was last time we were going into a Purdue-Iowa game where you could say Purdue had the better running attack? I mean, I think about Jim Young era.
Yeah.
I mean, it may be that long ago. I'm serious. Yeah, you're right. So you can sort of outline Iowa's offensive struggles. They're well publicized. They've kind of become a national punchline, if you will. We've heard all the bars. We read Twitter. We see the jokes. Everybody's making fun of Iowa's offense. Yes, they scored 33 points last week, but again, that was against a god-awful Northwestern team. So you're right. You look at the stats, and boy, they make you bleary-eyed if you're an Iowa fan. Yeah, Purdue does have the better running attack coming into this game. With Devin Mockabee, we talked about Iowa's rush game, 13th in the Big Ten. Again, if Purdue has to slug it out and run the ball, you know, they've proven that they can do that with Mockabee, and, you know, Dylan Downing's going to be back. Of course, King Drew will be out, but they got some heft there to push the rock on the ground if need be. And you couple that with Aiden's passing, you think the offense could have some success.
It's Charlie Jones week around here in West Lafayette. You look at the matchups. Tom, you mentioned it earlier, Jeff Brohm's ability to find one particular matchup, particularly in the passing game, and exploit it over and over, and the Hawkeyes being unwilling to adjust, or at least slow to adjust. I mean, Anthony Mahungu, Terry Wright had a huge game with three touchdowns in a Purdue win. David Bell here over the last couple of seasons, obviously. Now, the wind might factor in to whether a receiver can have a big game on Saturday, but certainly there seems to be some incentive there for Mr. Charlie Jones to have a big game against the Hawkeyes.
Harry, you're right. That was a deep cut, Kyle. That was a deep cut. You're right. Well, you know you're pretty football, but you're right, Tom. The passing game has had some success. David Bell caught, it seems like, a million passes against those guys. And Charlie Jones, is it his turn? And you talked about the extra juice here in this matchup with Jones pitted against his former team, the Iowa Hawkeyes. You know, everybody's saying the right things this week. The Iowa defensive backs had some kind of fun quotes. Kind of, they were smiling as they said them, I guess, about wanting to give Charlie a kiss and hitting him extra hard. And you got to know, you got to think maybe, you know, they wouldn't mind giving the guy a lick. I think there were some hurt feelings when he left. He kind of left very late in the process. I think that's what rankled some people in Iowa City. Had gone through spring football. No sign of this guy leaving, right? But boom, late May, early June, he's a Boilermaker. And thank God for that, for the Purdue Boilermakers, right? Because where would this offense be without Charlie Jones? You sort of shudder to think about it at this point. Yeah, and, you know, a lot of excitement. He's going to be psyched, I'm sure, too, Kyle. But as you know, once the game starts, those things sort of dissipate. But I got to think maybe Charlie can have a big game here. 10 catches, 100 yards. It's certainly going to be a fun storyline to watch.
On the other side of things for Purdue, the secondary needs to be better. Now, maybe because it's playing Iowa, Spencer Petras is only averaging about 150 yards passing per game, and that includes last week when he had 220 or so and a couple of touchdowns, one running and one passing against the Wildcats, but only 151 per game on the season. He only has three touchdowns against five interceptions this year. But man, Purdue's secondary is a little bit of a mess. What are we going to see? What do you think we see Saturday from Purdue in terms of who's playing where and whether they can have any more success?
I think you're going to see your typical starting four out there in the secondary. I expect Cam Allen to still start despite his struggles. Kyle, I'm just not sure there's a better alternative. So Cam Allen, Sanusi Kane in the back end, and then the corners, you know, Corey Trice and Jamari Brown, sounds like they've been on the practice field this week, according to Jeff Brohm, and he expects them to suit up and play. So, and of course, they still have Reese Taylor they can use off the bench at corner. And of course, as we reported this week, and you know, they've been training some other players to play cornerback if need. Should Trice or Brown have issues coming off their injuries at Wisconsin, Kyle? You know, Cam Allen's taking reps at corner. Bryce Hampton's taking reps. And, you know, he kind of came to Purdue as a cornerback anyway. And, of course, Sanusi Kane, too. He actually started a cornerback in the bowl game, Kyle. So, if need be, they got three other guys who are really primarily safeties, but who could swing to cornerback if needed. So, I think they've got their bases covered if they have some attrition or some issues back there. To shuffle personnel around and still be pretty serviceable.
No Chris Jefferson. No.
Correct.
No King Doru. No Brock Thompson. Maybe not surprises on any of those really for this week, though. You know, maybe we thought Doru would be able to continue to give it a go a little bit. You know, a couple of guys out there and Jefferson and Thompson that it doesn't sound like really either one of them is going to be back this season. For different reasons, obviously.
Yeah, I reported last night Jefferson will not be back. And Brock Thompson, I think there's a chance maybe he comes back for Illinois on November 12th. Keep that on your radar. I know he's been working out. He has some swelling in that knee, but he's getting closer, I think. And, yeah, certainly would be good to get number 13 in that receiving corps. Maybe, again, it happens at Illinois. I think that is the target date. One other guy who's out that's a little bit of an under-the-radar guy is Ben Fertney, their fullback, one of your favorites, Kyle. You know, he's a guy who can knock people backwards as a lead blocker, and that's been a part of the success of the run game, right? So without Fertney, who got hurt at Wisconsin, you know, Jeff Brohm said they're going to use their tight ends, Durham, Pifferi, as sort of de facto fullbacks from time to time, and they said even Tristan Cox, a guy who moved from defense to offense during this season, is a guy that could maybe utilize as a fullback as well. And we've even seen him use, of course, the big guard, Marcus Bowe, number 63. So, Fertney's absence, while he's not a high-visibility guy, you know, could be significant.
Yeah, especially in a game where it's supposed to rain and
yeah,
have so much – have the wind as well. All right, Tom, we'll take a break here. Let's get a full weather update from David Seipel. We'll do that here in just a moment. Then your conversation with Tom Caker to get the Iowa side of things. We will do that coming up next on Gold and Black Radio.
Hello from News 18. I'm Storm Team 18 meteorologist David Seipel. The Boilermakers will be playing at home against the Iowa Hawkeyes with a kickoff time around noon on Saturday. Unfortunately, the run of beautiful weather the Boilers have had throughout the season will come to an end. For those early morning tailgaters, be prepared for some wet and very windy conditions. Temperatures all day will remain in the lower 60s with sustained winds. 20 to 30 miles per hour and wind gusts could easily get up to 40 to possibly 55 miles per hour at times. Scattered rain will also be likely throughout the morning. At kickoff, we will be monitoring a line of heavy showers and possibly a few storms with continued strong wind. Once this line of rain passes early in the afternoon, skies will quickly clear and we may even see some sun by the end of the game. Strong winds will continue to be in the forecast all afternoon long. Bottom line, be prepared for rain and very strong winds if you'll be out at Ross Aid. From News 18, I'm Storm Team 18 meteorologist David Seipel. Boiler up, hammer down.
Experience unparalleled comfort, service, and cuisine at the Whitaker Inn. This Midwestern oasis is perfect for a relaxing staycation or weekend getaway. Escape from the ordinary at the Whitaker Inn.
This is Alan Karpik, publisher of GoldenBlack.com. We couldn't be more excited to be joining the On3 network. We believe being part of the On3 network will provide the best user experience for all Purdue fans for years to come. And here's the good part. You can become a member for just $1 for the first year. Our URL hasn't changed, so just go to goldenblack.com and sign up there. You're never going to have a better deal to be part of the largest Purdue community on the internet. The move to On3 is also an opportunity to work with the industry's best. On3 CEO Shannon Terry and the team he has assembled at On3 is beyond compare. So spend a dollar with us and we will work every day to provide you with something Golden Black has delivered over the past 33 years. And that is the most complete coverage of Purdue sports in the largest Purdue community that you will find anywhere.
It's time to break it down as we go in-depth about Purdue's opponent.
All right, really pleased and psyched and pumped up to talk to this guy. Tom Caker knows all things Iowa Hawkeyes. He, of course, is the proprietor, the publisher of Hawkeye Report, part of the Rivals family. And, again, Tom's been a longtime Iowa reporter. And he's as dialogue as anybody I know ever known. Just a good person, too. And Tom's here to drop some Hawkeye knowledge on us. Thomas, welcome, buddy. And let's jump right in real quick. Tell Purdue fans, you know, what they can expect from this Iowa offense, which has come under a lot of scrutiny this year.
I think that's fair to say that they've had a lot of scrutiny. But they had their best game of the year last weekend against Northwestern. The Wildcats aren't very strong this year, though. So, you know, I think there's some Iowa fans that would tell you to take it with a grain of salt at this point. But Iowa did move out of the basement in all of college football in terms of total offense. They're now number 129 instead of 131. They are at 125 in the country in rush offense and number 120 in pass offense. So, I guess small progress. They put up 33 points. They scored their first touchdowns. They went 30 drives without scoring an offensive touchdown and finally got on the board with an offensive touchdown in the first half against Northwestern. So it has been a slog. It's a combination of Spencer Petras struggling at quarterback, a young offensive line, with several new starters who are, you know, younger guys, the redshirt freshmen, redshirt sophomores that have kind of gotten pressed into service and they have struggled. And they've had a lot of injuries at the receiver position, a position that's not very deep as Purdue fans know, because Purdue took two of their receivers in the offseason via the transfer portal. So that combination has led to some real struggles for the Iowa offense, but they've figured a few things out at least this last week and got you know, a better push up front. They protected Spencer Petras better he looked more comfortable after getting benched in the second half at Ohio State. So I think there's progress, but also you have to factor in it was Northwestern, and Northwestern is not very good this year.
Okay, Tom, defensively, what can Purdue fans expect to see from Iowa on that side of the ball?
That's the marquee side of the ball for Iowa. They are much better on the defensive side of the football. Iowa ranks fifth in the country in total defense. They really held Northwestern to one score. The last touchdown was on the final play of the game against Iowa's second team defense. Even, the Ohio State game, they got beat up pretty good with 54, but that was more, I think, just the team wearing down more than anything else. And, they held Illinois to 9 points. They held Iowa State to 10. They've done a nice job. They're led on defense by All-American linebacker Jack Campbell. I haven't looked at the Big Ten stats this week, but I believe he's probably still leading the conference in tackles. And Seth Benson at linebacker is another really good player. Riley Moss at cornerback. I think he's, he was the defensive back of the year last year in the Big Ten. And I know just kind of talking to some of the guys on the team, in the offseason and at media day, a lot of those guys on the defensive backfield are looking forward to competing against Charlie Jones this weekend and Tyrone Tracy. But particularly Charlie, they're really looking forward to, competing against him and challenging him a little bit out there in the secondary.
Okay, Tom, last question. How do you see this game unfolding on Saturday at high noon in Ross-Ade Stadium?
You know, Jeff Brohm has had Kirk Ferentz's number, and he's had Phil Parker's number, which not many offensive teams have been able to do what Jeff Brohm has been able to do against Phil Parker's defense. So it'd be silly for me to bet on Iowa just given the challenges that they've had offensively and knowing that Purdue is probably – Aiden O'Connell and company are probably going to put some points up on the board. And it is at Purdue, and it's going to be a full house. Mm-hmm. So I suspect that Purdue is probably going to win this game. I think it'll be closer than people maybe thought initially. I look for Purdue to win by about 3 points, but I think this is going to be a real interesting and maybe sometimes chippy game just because of the way Charlie Jones left and when he left the University of Iowa to go to Purdue.
Should be interesting, Tom. Look forward to seeing you. Like you said, should be close. Purdue's about a 4-point favorite. Of course, the Boilermakers can become bowl eligible with a win. And, of course, most importantly, I think, stay in the thick of that Big Ten West title chase. So, Tom, thank you very much, sir. Again, looking forward to seeing you Saturday. And like I said, we will be talking, buddy.
Okay. Thank you.
At Purdue Federal Credit Union, it's about a relationship. A relationship that goes where you go, wherever you are in life. A relationship that's committed to free financial wellness resources, lower fees, and innovative digital banking solutions. Because we believe in people helping people. Let's build your financial future together. Purdue Federal Credit Union, your trusted financial partner for life. Federally insured by NCUA.
On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill. Industrial and classic, the restaurant is built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chop salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event at the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Broadcasting from Golden Black World Headquarters, north of Purdue's campus, this is the Golden Black Radio Pregame Show.
Let's bring in Brian Newbert to get his perspective on Purdue and Iowa and maybe just the month of November. The Boilermakers, as they say, control their own destiny. Of course, so do the fighting Illini. It is, though, interesting, though, also, Brian, that Purdue actually could lose on Saturday, or Purdue could lose to Northwestern or Indiana, as long as the Boilermakers go 3-1 and one of the one losses not to Illinois. And if you assume that Illinois also then loses to Michigan and that Wisconsin does not go 4-0, Purdue could still win the Big Ten West. But the easiest way to a West championship would be to go 4-0. It sounds easy to say, maybe not quite as easy to actually do, however. But it starts on Saturday with Iowa.
Yeah, not to get too hot takey here, but if you, you know, can't handle as offensively limited an Iowa team as you're ever going to face on your home field, you know, that's kind of one of those games where it's almost like a, yeah, you could still win the division, but did you just show that you can do what you need to do to deserve to win your division kind of thing? And then obviously Illinois is the really big one. And whoever would have thought we'd be saying that a couple weeks ago, it'll come down to Purdue and Illinois, you know, potentially for a Big Ten West title here. But no, Purdue's had Iowa's number here the last couple of years, but things are different every year. And, you know, Purdue has given up too many big plays on defense. You know, Purdue turned the ball over too much in Madison. It's going to be raining. Those are three things that seem to put you at risk of walking right into the typical Iowa quagmire, you know, where you make one mistake, they prey on it. You make more mistakes, they prey on it. The weather's bad. And, you know, Purdue's going to have its hands full on Saturday with a defense that good. And you just have, when you play an offense as limited as Iowa's is, your issue is, you know, the old concept of margin for error. You can't make mistakes. You can't give them anything that they didn't earn. And what Purdue's been doing all year defensively is giving people things they didn't necessarily earn. And that's what's kind of scary from a Purdue perspective about the Iowa game on Saturday. But yeah, Purdue does control its own destiny. That's a term we probably use too much because everybody who wins the rest of their games all year long controls its own destiny. So it's sort of an empty term, but you know, this is an opportunity on Saturday for Purdue to prove it can win a tough game. And, you know, I thought before the Madison game, you know, Purdue was kind of skating by a little bit, and they still had to get better, even though they were winning. And then, you know, the bottom kind of dropped out at Wisconsin, as it tends to do at Wisconsin for Purdue over the span of a generation now. But here's an opportunity for Purdue to show that they've improved to the point where they would be a worthy division champion, even if they're able to win the division.
Sometimes weather is a great equalizer between teams. I'm not sure that it necessarily is for this game on Saturday. Iowa is so limited offensively that it just feels like the weather, the wind might limit them more. Maybe Purdue can handle the wind a little bit better, especially because it runs the ball. But the one thing that would be the great equalizer in a game like this is turnovers. And Purdue has, I think they have like 8 turnovers in the last 3 games, or I don't know, something like that. It's not been good. Purdue's been turning the ball over a ton. And in adverse conditions, you know, turning the ball over could equalize things for Iowa, sort of what you were alluding to earlier, right? You know, just giving things to a Hawkeye offense that is not very good. Short fields, a defensive score, special team score, something like that could definitely equalize the game on Saturday.
Yeah, a good rule of thumb, anything ugly benefits Iowa.
Yeah.
Always. Yes, Purdue's been turning the ball over, but they were turning the ball over too when they were winning. And that's what I mean too when I say they were kind of skating by. They were kind of getting away from some things that they were getting away with some things that typically don't lend themselves to winning. Can't do it against Iowa. Cannot do it against Iowa because that's the old spider web that Iowa's been laying for years and years and years now, that, you know, Purdue has fallen into more than once over the years, even though Purdue under Jeff Brom has been really good against Iowa. You just can't give the ball away. You just can't give them extra possessions. You can't let them bleed the clock. You can't give them, again, you can't give them scores they didn't earn.
Yeah.
And Kirk Ferentz will happily beat you with three field goals if he can. Now, field goals are dicey too in the rain, but you know, for the team that wants to drop back and throw the ball. Now, Devin Mockaby maybe gives Purdue a little bit of balance here. It might not have had in prior games in the rain, even though, you know, that Eastern Michigan game a couple of years ago, I believe Purdue ran for a ton of yards.
Yeah.
Now, that's not your typical Jeff Brohm offense, but that's still yardage. That's still productivity. Purdue's not built to win that way, but at least you were able to control the ball a little bit, move the ball. Maybe Purdue could do that a little bit with Devin Mockaby, but you still have to throw the ball to win at Purdue, and Iowa doesn't. So it's going to be interesting to see how the weather, A, actually materializes, and B, how much it impacts the actual terms of play on Saturday.
Thanks, Brian.
Yep.
Let's take a break. We'll come back with more. This is Gold and Black Radio.
When it comes to land sales, it pays to have experts in your corner. AcrePro Midwest Farm Group is your local farmland specialist. With decades of experience in Indiana agriculture, no one knows the market better. Whether you're doing a 1031 exchange or simply buying and selling farmland, your local AcrePro agent will walk the land with you and ensure the deal is done right. Visit acrepro.com or call 765-587-3185 to talk to your local land expert today. Again, 765-587-3185.
What else is going on around the league? Let's take a look. It's the Big Ten Roundup.
Let's bring in Alan Karpik to talk a little bit of Big Ten football with the Big Ten Roundup. Five games that we are looking at outside the one here in West Lafayette. Noon kickoff on Saturday, Minnesota and Nebraska. The Golden Gophers 5-3, Nebraska 3-5. Minnesota is a 16-point road favorite at Nebraska. Are you kidding me? This game will be closer than that, in my opinion. Minnesota has not really done a whole lot to excite me here recently. Nebraska hasn't either, I suppose. But man, that feels closer than a 2-touchdown spread.
Yeah, I think so. And you look at the quarterback, but I think it's based on the quarterback situation. You know, is Casey Thompson going to play? Chubby Purdy didn't play. You know, they don't even know. So that may be the biggest thing there. But Minnesota is good when it runs the ball. And when it doesn't, it's not very good. I don't know if Nebraska's defense is good, but I agree with you. If Casey Thompson plays, then I think that game will be a lot closer than what the line is.
Another noon kick in Madison as Wisconsin hosts Maryland. The Terps are 6-2. And the Boilermakers getting a victory over there looks bigger and bigger every week, it feels like. Wisconsin 4-4 coming off that win against Purdue a couple of weeks ago. The Badgers are a 5-point favorite. And this one, a difficult one, in my opinion, to handicap here because the Terps have been pretty good. 6-2 now on the season.
Right. I mean, Purdue really put a dagger in their season in a lot of ways because they'd be at 7 wins and the Boilermakers got out of there alive at the very end of this game. You know, I don't know. It's interesting. Maryland has given up some – been able to get first, the quarterback at Maryland, Tulua, will be back. I only say his first name because I can't pronounce his last name. I have a mental block on that. But, it'll be interesting to see. This is a game also that Wisconsin looked so good against Purdue 2 weeks ago. And so dominant, and yet this is a team that can be up and down and still don't know with Jim Leonard's apprenticeship or audition. This will be another big one for him to get to. But I think Maryland can throw the ball. It's going to be interesting to see how that game, and again, weather will be a factor tomorrow. I don't know if it's going to be as windy and nasty up there as it is in West Lafayette, but I think Maryland might sneak up on you in this one.
Talia Tungavailoa.
I know. I'm sorry. I know it. All right, there you go. I got it.
speaking of weather, it's not going to be very nice in Bloomington on Saturday. I think sort of the same weather that we're anticipating here, though it might be raining a little bit longer into the day down there.
And stormier maybe, too. Maybe yeah, lightning, too.
Indiana hosting Penn State. Indiana 3-5, now just 1-4 in the Big Ten. Somehow the Hoosiers beat Illinois which seems like sometime in the middle of last year, though it was at the beginning of the season. Oh, man, I don't know. Penn State favored by 14. Indiana probably, it sounds like, is going to make a quarterback change. I don't know that that matters. The Hoosiers just headed the wrong direction. I think the interesting thing about Indiana is what happens after the season. It just feels like the Hoosiers are going to lose out once again this year and be – I think their losing streak now in non-September games has reached 12.
Yep, I think that's right. It's not good.
No.
So now they did beat, again, they beat Illinois, and that means something, but they got a good call at that. But yeah, I just think that, again, Penn State will just grind this game out. I can't imagine that they'll let Indiana have the ball very much. And that will be a big, I know Penn State isn't always great offensively and not great on ball control, but I really do think that Indiana is one of the last teams in time of possession. I just think they'll be outmatched and Penn State, if it's engaged, and that's always a question, but assuming it's engaged for four quarters, it will win easily.
Michigan State taking on Illinois, the Illini 7-1, 4-1 in the Big Ten. They, like Purdue, control their own destiny in the Big Ten West. Illinois favored by 17 against Michigan State. Should the Illini be on alert here at all against the Spartans? Yeah.
And I'm not making fun of that really nasty event in the tunnel, the fighting Spartans. I don't know if that's we'll find out if they are when they get to the football field, because the thing we've talked about is that Illinois has not faced a passing quarterback. They're going to see one next week in Aiden O'Connell as well. Can Casey Thorne throw it enough? Peyton Thorne. That will be an interesting thing. He is efficient. I think Illinois is good enough defensively to get out of this alive, but Illinois is not a style points team, isn't going to blow anybody out. No. And Illinois really hasn't played anybody. They'll find out. We'll find out more about Illinois, certainly when Purdue plays it, and really find out about Illinois when they go to the Big House on November 19th.
Let's talk a little bit about Michigan, 7:30, the primetime start in the Big Ten on Saturday. Two games really in the Big Ten that are like, ugh.
Oh.
One of them. The other one is just, we won't even, Ohio State at Northwestern, yikes. Michigan playing at Rutgers, though, even this one is a little bit yikes. Michigan's favored by 26. Yeah, I mean, Michigan could be looking ahead here a little bit, and maybe the game stays closer for a bit, but talent wins out in the end.
It does, and Michigan just seems to be too focused to get the job done. Rutgers has been good defensively at times, but they couldn't stop the run against Minnesota. I just think that maybe Michigan will follow its similar path of kind of dinking around in the first half and then take care of business in big numbers in the second half. Everything just points to Michigan, Ohio State on the 26th of November. That's two teams undefeated in the college football playoff. Everything on the line for that game. But I think Michigan will win easily.
That's the Big Ten Roundup.
Let's go back in time. With a historical look, here's Alan Karpik.
All right, Alan, let's take a historical view at Purdue and Iowa. This has been a series that has been full of runs, it seems like, from Purdue to Iowa. And now Jeff Brohm has dominated, I guess, the Hawkeyes during his tenure. 4-1 record, I think, is certainly pretty impressive. Purdue's had some good wide receiver performances during those games, during especially the four victories from Anthony Mahongo to Terry Wright to David Bell. It's been pretty impressive, but Purdue has had the number of the Hawkeyes here recently.
Well, I think the thing that Jeff Brohm has been able to do is be able to exploit whatever little weakness. I still don't know who the name. It's a great trivia question. Who was the corner for Iowa that Anthony Mahungu that got injured and they went after him on a couple plays? It's not like they threw it all over the place that day, but they threw it over this. I'm talking about the 2017 game. Mm-hmm. Point is, it is an interesting series. I don't know if it's a rivalry. Maybe the Charlie Jones, Tyrone Tracy trade will be part of it. But Purdue's won of late. Hayden Fry and Kirk Ferentz dominated Purdue for a long time. And then back in the days of Jack Mullenkopf and even Bob DeMoss and Alex Agassi, Purdue and Jim Young, Purdue won 20 in a row back from 61 to 1980. So, yeah, it's a funny series. And you've got COVID memories of Jeff Brohm sitting at his home in Northwestern Heights trying to call some plays while his brother was getting the job done. Just a funny series from that standpoint.
Yeah, certainly. So is this the greatest fake rivalry in the history of college football? Of course, these two teams were put together as quote rivals, right? Did that start in Leaders Legends?
Yeah, it was. I've wiped that from my feeble memory anyway, but it is a good rivalry because the team, in some ways, because the teams have some, similarities of location and a farming type look at things, I guess. So an agricultural look, I should say. But I don't, it isn't a great rivalry. I still think, Purdue really has one true rival in football, Indiana, and a team that he typically beats. Maybe Illinois is the friendly rival. We will find that out next week. Illinois kind of looks at Purdue that way. So rivalries are always a two-way street. Purdue and Notre Dame was a big rivalry for Purdue. Wasn't that big for Notre Dame. So I don't know what the best way to say that is. But they're going to play tomorrow, and they'll act like they don't like each other for at least 60 minutes of football.
Purdue's most hated rival, the Iowa Hawkeyes. All right, thanks, Al.
All right, thanks, Kyle.
That's a historical look with Alan Karpik. Back with more on Golden Black Radio.
Designing and building since 1968, T&W has changed the way people think about construction. T&W's three-stage approach to designing and building is unmatched throughout the construction industry. Learn more about T&W's people, passion, and projects at twdesignbuild.com.
Broadcasting from Golden Black World Headquarters, north of Purdue's campus, this is the Golden Black Radio Pregame Show.
All right, Tom, let's talk a little bit of matchups for Iowa and Purdue, plus take a look at our predictions for this game on Saturday. Purdue's been good defensively in its front seven for the most part this season in stopping the run. Iowa does not have a very good running game. It's just perplexing. Even consider, but they just don't. Second to last in the Big Ten. The conditions might dictate that the team that runs the ball the best on Saturday might end up winning. As we said earlier in this matchup, that you traditionally would consider that to be Iowa, but man, you have to feel like Purdue has a pretty good advantage, its defensive front seven against that Hawkeye running game.
Yeah, the Hawkeye offensive line, usually the bellwether, the bell cow of that entire program, has not been up to its usual standards. So that's a big reason why they've struggled to run the football like we typically see Iowa run the football. And you're right. you can find faults with Purdue's defense, but no doubt one of their strengths has been stopping the run. Still not giving up a lot of big plays, long runs, if you will. As they say in coaching parlance, their gaps sound and they're with their run fits and just do a good job. Not getting bled to death up front on the ground game. So, you'd think that advantage would certainly play to Purdue. And just another quick injury note on that. The D-line, too, Kyle. Kydren Jenkins was a guy who was questionable, I think, for this game. But expect him to play, according to Jeff Brohm. He hurt his knee at Wisconsin. That would be a big edge rusher for Purdue, probably their best pass rusher. So, if Purdue can slow down this run like we think they can, a guy like Kydren Jenkins maybe gets after Petras and makes some negative plays or forces a bad throw, which results into an interception maybe.
Purdue has not been good in weather games under Jeff Brohm, Tom. I mean, it's a trend at this point, right? I mean, they're the Eastern Michigan game.
Yeah.
Back in 2018, I believe. The game at Minnesota that was either that year or the next, that was like 21 degrees and Jeff Brohm looked like he'd rather be anywhere than standing on the sideline of that field. The Minnesota game last year in
the rain,
sort of chilly and rainy. That was pretty awful in the second half. I was sitting in the stands. That was not all that much fun. Can Purdue overcome its inclement weather demons on Saturday?
Yeah, that game at Minnesota was 2018 when they got frozen out. And the 2019 game at Illinois against Illinois at home, Kyle, was a downpour. Purdue lost 24-6, just an ugly game. And Jeff Brom acknowledged that. We talked to him after practice on Thursday. There's struggles in these kind of games. So they're aware of it. They work with wet balls in practice this week. They've done all they can to prepare as best you can for these wet conditions. You know, the wind, I'm not sure how much you can do to prepare for the wind. But, yeah, this is another challenge. That's been one of the Achilles heels of Purdue under Jeff Brom is their ability to do well in foul conditions. And we're in November. Foul weather usually starts rearing its head this month. So here we go. Saturday is going to be Purdue's first taste of it. We'll see how they adapt. And, you know, maybe Purdue is better equipped, like we talked about earlier, Kyle, because their ability to run the football, at least offensively, to deal with some of these conditions.
All right, who you got Saturday?
I got the Boilers. I think Purdue was about a 4-point favorite, Kyle. I think they win. I don't think they cover. I think this is a nail biter. Nobody gets to 30 points. Maybe Mitchell Finner hits a late field goal. Remember in 2018, Kyle, Spencer Evans drilled a 25-yarder with 8 seconds to go to beat Iowa 38-36. Again, I don't think we get that many points, but Purdue wins a narrow game by a couple points. I think I said, I want to say 26-24, something of that ilk. But, yeah, it's going to be a game that keeps people, I think, on the edge of their seats, biting their fingernails.
Yeah, that Spencer Evans games, I think that Purdue wore these same hideous gray jerseys that they're going to wear on Saturday. Man, those things are bad.
Yeah, there's not that. I don't like many of the uniform combos they got at this point.
These ones are not good. Not.
I sound like an old cranky guy on this.
I know. I do too.
I'm screaming the cloud out my window right now too. So.
We are not the target audience, but those jerseys need to be tossed in the burn pit. Before I knew that the weather was going to be as bad as it is, I think we got a game in the 20s. I could see it being a little bit lower than that. If the wind is blowing 40 miles an hour, sustained in the mid 30s and gusting to 40 plus, then maybe we end up seeing a game that's in the teens, Purdue 17-14 or something like that. I'll stick with my original prediction. I've got the Boilermakers 24-20. I do think close into the fourth quarter, but Purdue begins to pull away. Maybe Iowa backdoor covers there to get it within 4 points. But I think the Boilermakers get the victory in a hard-fought game and then take the show to Illinois. That'll be a big one coming up next week. Hey, thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
Take care, buddy.
All right, that'll do it for our podcast for this week. If you like the podcast, be sure to rate us 5 stars and leave us a comment as well. Thanks to our sponsors. And for Tom Deanhart, Brian Ubert, and Alan Kerpik, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Gold and Black Radio.